We will call the May 26 PER board meeting to order. Wayne, will you call the roll, please?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Chair French.
Here.
Vice Chair Mayfield.
Here.
Secretary of State.
Here.
State Treasurer. Mr. Reynolds.
Here.
Ms. Fisher.
Present.
Ms. Towns. Ms. Kolesch. Mr. Melia.
Here.
Mr. Esquivel.
Here.
Fire Chief Maxson.
Here.
And Ms. Naranjo Lopez.
Here.
Madam Chair, you do have a quorum.
And for the record, Member Towns had surgery, and her doctor has not released her yet, so she is excused. And Member Kolesch did contact me and let me know she wouldn't be present today. So she also is excused. So with that, we'll move on with, is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. With that, we'll move on with approval of the consent agenda. I did read the minutes, and they appear to be accurate and in order. And with that, is there a motion?
So make the motion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll move on with current business. Executive Director Props.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, and good morning, members of the board. Board members who have been around for a while probably know, when we see staff joining us, it's usually for a recognition of contributions that have been made to PERA over a number of years. We have two very special recognitions today, but we also have a third that's not on the agenda, and I'm going to start with that one. I'm going to go through all three of them before that, and we'll bring you all up as a group, if that's okay. Vince, of course, and Joyce will be recognized for 25 years of service, but we also want to recognize Sam Ohinaga today. Sam is retiring, and that's why we are recognizing him. But we're also recognizing Sam for his somewhat shorter than 25-year service to PERA. Sam's been here, I think, about 3 years. I didn't realize this until a couple of weeks ago, but I think he actually started the same day that Greg Trujillo started. But Sam's contributions to PERA far exceed the relatively short period of time that he's been here. I remember when his position came open, those of you who were around at the time will recall Sylvia Barella was with us at that time. I remember when Sylvia came into my office and said, I have somebody who I think would be a good fit here at PERA. And of course, because that recommendation came from Sylvia, that was about all I needed. And it turns out that the recommendation and Sylvia's decision to help bring Sam to PERA has just been a tremendous benefit to us. The changes that have happened in contribution accounting during his time are significant. He has significantly upgraded his staff and increased the staffing level in contribution accounting, significantly increased our outreach to our employers, begun an in-house training program where employers now come to PERA to be trained. So again, the contributions that Sam has made in a relatively short period of time are really very, very remarkable. More important than that, though, Madam Chair, members of the board, is the quality of person that Sam is. And he's a high-quality person. He's got a good heart. I know he's been welcomed by his colleagues. I know he will be missed by his colleagues. Sam, I will personally miss you. I consider you to be a friend now, as well as a colleague. I wish you very well in your retirement. It's much deserved. Sam spent most of his career at DFA. Sam, thank you and congratulations. The next person, Madam Chair, I'll recognize is Vince Jaramillo. Unlike the other colleague who is being recognized for 25 years of service, I have a little bit of good news with Vince. He's not retiring. But he has passed the 25-year mark for service his entire career here at PERA. I would try to list, Madam Chair, all of the jobs, special tasks, et cetera, that Vince has done for PERA and for our members over those 25 years. It's probably easier to say that I think the only jobs that Vince hasn't had is general counsel, chief investment officer, and executive director. And I think Vince could probably do all three of those as well. Vince is somebody that very early on in my time here at PERA, for whatever reason, I just recognized that this is somebody I needed to to rely on. I have relied on him myself for special projects. He has been the first to volunteer when something needed to be done. Like Sam, is a wonderful human being. I know he is loved by his colleagues. Vince, I love you too. Thank you for all of the times when I've asked you to take on additional responsibilities, and you've done it without hesitation. 25 years is a remarkable achievement, and we thank you for those 25 years' service to PARA, and I am personally very, very grateful that you're going to be with us at least for a little while longer. And finally, Madam Chair, Joyce Rivera, this is the bad news. She has 25 years, and she's retiring. I said the other day at a little barbecue that we had for Sam and Joyce for their retirements that virtually everybody in an organization is replaceable. Institutions outlive individuals. I firmly believe that. Joyce comes as close as I can think of, not just here, my time here at PARA, but in my entire career, of somebody who is almost irreplaceable. Her knowledge set of our 31 different plans, our two tiers, our volunteer fire plan, our municipal fire plan, our state general plan, all the plans, the complexities of people who have been divorced three times and have different beneficiary designations. It's very difficult to explain to somebody outside of PARA how complex what we do here is in the area of member services and how difficult it can be sometimes to get somebody to retirement in a timely manner. Joyce, over the past 3 years in particular, has overseen a very tough time for member services and for retirements. With the passage of pension reform, retirements have been high each and every one of those 3 years. She's overseen some significant changes in how we process retirements that I think has significantly streamlined those processes. And again, her knowledge of PARA is irreplaceable. As I said at the barbecue, I had taken Joyce to lunch a few weeks ago as a small way of saying thank you. And as we were walking out of the restaurant, I told her if she'd ever needed anything to let me know, and if her family ever needs anything to let me know, we'll be here for you. And the only thing that she asked for is that we take care of her staff, and I told her that we would. That says a lot about her heart, where her heart is. I think it will always be with the people that she's worked with over those 25 years, always be with our members. She's got a great retirement plan. I won't tell stories on her, but she does have a plan for retirement. It's very well earned. And, Madam Chair, thank you for allowing me to have somewhat more extended remarks than I generally do. But these three people are very special. So thank you all very much. And if you'd come up, we'll give you a small token of our appreciation.
Yeah, especially a smile.
just like to say, Vince, you were here when I got here, and I'm like Wayne, you have served several different roles. We've talked on the phone several times about different members, so I just want to say thank you, and thank you for sticking around. And Sam has always reached out to me. When I go back there, we'll talk. We'll say a little bit. He saw me at, I can't remember what meeting it was, and he goes, hey, Miss French. And I was like, where do I know this guy from? But it was great that you always remember, and thank you very much, Joyce. Just want to say thank you to all of you for your loyalty and dedication to PARA and its members. With that, we'll move on to item B, investments.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to commit up to $40 million to ACM Fund 2 LLC to be funded according to the cash plan subject to legal review by General Counsel.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to commit up to $75 million to DRC, European Real Estate Debt Fund 3 LP, to be funded according to the cash plan subject to legal review and General Counsel.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll move on with item C. And Greg, you had asked for a little short break, but do we have them on the phone? You got them? They're ready? Okay. That's okay. And for you that are weren't here, we had talked about ways to get the information to the board. And I think we were going to do a presentation before, and we couldn't get them. So we're going to do the presentation today.
Enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. To enable audio controls, please enter your audio PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. If you do not have a PIN, just press pound or hash.
Patrick?
Hello, Greg.
Hey, Greg's here. Natalie's dialing in for now, but he's trying to get the computer version up and running.
Oh, excellent.
Do you want to bring it over to you?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. If you recall, we had talked about a board portal about a month or so ago, and the board did express interest. So on the phone, we have Patrick Wilson, who is a sales rep for Board Effect. He's going to walk you through some of the functionality that we missed out on last time. So with that, we'll turn it over to you, Patrick.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to present today. I'd like to introduce Board of Effect's Chief Sales, Liam Healy. He's just going to give a very brief overview of our company and some of the other partners that we work with. And then I would be happy to dive right into our demonstration of the product.
Thanks for making time, everybody. And just for sake of time, I know you probably had a long day, so I'll be brief just to kind of frame in board effect and then product demonstration to follow by Patrick. So really quickly, just to kind of frame in board effect and who we are, what we do, how that works. Board effect overall, what you're looking at is our overall product vision. And so we asked ourselves a couple of quick questions, right? How do boards work? How can we help them do that better, right? More efficient and effective. And so our goal is to answer three main questions, right? How can we help you optimize resources? How can we help you manage your risk and any exposure that may be out there, even though you're a public-facing entity? And then also, how can we help overall elevate the board's performance and enhance the operations? Right. And so in the last 20 years, we're doing this for almost 1,500 clients, about 1,480-ish clients now, and it spans all verticals. Right. Specifically, in your world, I know there's one group that we're working with now, Massachusetts State Retirement Board, that have similar concerns and follow similar practices that you do. So, what you're looking at is really our product framework and how we think about how boards work. And so we come in it kind of backwards. As opposed to building software that we think we can come to market with, we take what's the customer experience and how do they work, and we work backwards to then build software to fit that. And so in this product framework, we understand from our over 100,000 users the framework that they work in, and we see it as three distinct cycles. While they overlap and are intermittent, the frequencies that you may be in any of these cycles could be at different speeds. And so whether it's very, very basic and you're moving from antiquated processes of paper and really what you're used to just to use and leverage technology, which is the meeting cycle, preparing for your meeting, setting up those meetings, holding those meetings, following up with those meetings, whether it's reviewing your audits or any of your strategic plan work in an annual type cadence, or whether it's really around what you want to be focusing on, which is how do we govern most effectively the data and information that we have and the individuals that are elected and appointed, how do we onboard them, make sure that they're up to speed, and elevate their overall performance. We then have worked to build the platform to support those cycles, right? And so really what you're looking at is the how do we do that then. So everything from online materials and board books all the way through to board education and putting all of those materials in a public-facing and private-facing portal so that you can access them and be engaged more often so that you can make good decisions with the right information, right? And so when we do that, we keep five guiding principles at our core so that as we're building that, we're keeping in mind we never want to compromise what we're building to that customer experience that I spoke about. And so as you look at this, as you consume information, ease of use is probably really important. You're used to doing things a certain way. You want to make sure that the new way, even if better, need to do. But you also need to make sure that there are levels of control that you're able to provide the public the information that they should have, which is all. And then also make sure that information is both secure and as you're on the go, it's ever mobile, right? And so with that framework in mind, and I know we sped through it, but just, you've got a lot on your plate, and for sake of brevity, just wanted to kind of put guardrails around what you're going to look at as we dive into the technology. And so I'll pause there for a second. I know it's a big group, but answer any maybe questions before Patrick jumps into the overall features and functionality of the technology. So I'll certainly take silence and keep moving, but I do want to open it up to see if there's any high-level questions.
You guys can keep going.
Excellent. Okay, I'd like to bring in our platform view right now. The first thing I really want to call your attention to is the fact that we're going to be able to personalize this experience for you in the sense that you'll get your own platform, we're able to brand it out in any way that you'd like, any way that you'd like it to look. Very simple sign-on. I'd first like to start by logging in as a board member and showing you around from the board member view. Specific to the meeting today, we'll just take a look at how you'd view a meeting book, how you'd respond to maybe a survey or a poll,
And then I'll jump over to the administrator view and actually show you what some of those administrators will be doing and how they'll be sending things out as well. So just so you know, this is very standard. We have 24/7, 365 support if you ever run into trouble. We also have a ticketing system that you can log into as well. You can reset your password over here, and we have a video walkthrough to show you how to do all of that if, in case you know you have a problem. So logging in. There we go. So this is our welcome screen. The things you'll notice right away are these workrooms here on the left. This is a feature pretty unique to BoardEffect. We organize our working groups around the committee structure and around the task group structure that you have in place already. What this translates into in a functionality sense is these workrooms. They are completely secure. They're separate from each other. Only users assigned to those workrooms will be able to log in and see them. What this means from a public accessibility and transparency standpoint is you can create as many of these as you like. One of them could be accessible to the public, and you'd be able to push only the documentation that you'd need the public to see to that workroom. So that's one way that, that many organizations, Massachusetts State Retirement Board, for example, is able to complete their public accessibility requirement. So as a board member, though, working on this, we have a couple of features here that really help with, you know, collaborating and transmitting information. The first place to start before you get to a board meeting, maybe you're looking for information in the interim before time comes up, is our shared drive. Our shared drive here, our resource library, has a general resource library that the board is able to access. Each workroom also has a library that the board is able to go into and access and has documents and obviously folders that will be important to that specific group. For each of these folders and files, there is several layers of security that are pretty helpful. You're able to actually secure each of these files on both the folder level and on the individual document level. And you're able to pick and choose which groups or which users would have access to that information. And that can obviously take the place of a Dropbox or shared drive or just email, just sending things across the internet as a big attachment. And that's very helpful to a lot of our users. For a meeting, we'd actually get into our workroom here, and we're going to be able to see a number of upcoming events. So I've created a couple things just as a sample here. You're going to have your list of fellow board members over here, who else has access to this workroom. You're able to message anyone else, and you're going to have access to a collaboration section where you can vote, where you can fill out surveys, where you can talk about pressing business in a forum. Here's where you'll find your past and present board books as they become available and as they're stored after a meeting. And then here is where your upcoming events are. So we're going to go ahead and just take a look at this Q3 board meeting. You'd have an invitation that would come to your email, and also you'd have the ability to RSVP here within the event itself. So I'm going to go ahead and RSVP. I'm going to attend. And then I'm going to go ahead and take a look at my meeting book. So your meeting book is laid out here. You have access to all the files if you want to download individual files. And then you have three ways of accessing that. The first is looking at it in your web browser, in your web viewer. The second is downloading it into a PDF format. You can print it out and highlight it, do whatever you like from there. The third is we have a iPhone and an Android app as well as an iPad app, so you're able to get that from your, whatever mobile device that you choose. For our purposes today, we'll take a look at it in the web viewer. So within the web viewer, we're able to annotate, we're able to scan through the document, and the document, by virtue of our technology, has become completely searchable, so you're able to do that as well. So you can always scroll through it. You have the option of just going specifically to a document of your choice. And of course, if you have a specific phrase or something in a prospectus that you want to look at, you're able to search for that, and every mention of that is going to come up. As you're going through the document and you're, reviewing it, and there's certain things you want to do to edit the document, you have all these annotation tools. We can add in comments here. We're able to underlining and strike through. The same suite of tools that you would use in Adobe or any other top-of-the-line document editor, we've built into this functionality as well. Outside of this, you're also able to download a PDF. And the PDF ends up running a little bit like this. And so with the PDF, it generates an agenda for you, which becomes really helpful for our folks who put the meeting notes together and the meeting components together. It also comes with an agenda that's been hyperlinked and bookmarked for you automatically. So you're just able to scroll through that, bookmark it, find your place, whatever you would like. When a meeting is finished, you have access to it in the workroom files, which at that point will give you a running tally and categorized view of all the books that you've been able to see or were accessible, whatever you like. You'll be able to run through those, and your notes will be available for as long as you want them, except in the case of if a administrator has approval to archive that book, you'll get a copy of it, but your notes will not stay. From a collaboration standpoint, we have a couple different options here. And we'll switch into the administrative view in a minute just so we can actually show you what the process would be to go through these. We have the ability to answer scheduling questions. We can vote on a particular action in a meeting or in between meetings. And we can also respond to surveys. So oftentimes, and I would imagine in a organization as transparent as yours, there's a conflict of interest and transparency forms that you have to fill out maybe once a year. For a lot of our partners that have to do that, they send that out over surveys rather than either faxing it or doing it over email. It cuts the time down, and it also provides an electronic record of that. Our discussion area will allow you to discuss particular topics, vote on things, and really it's meant to absorb the function of an email thread or an offline kind of chat. So it does give you a great deal of transparency. It also just organizes everything and puts it in a position to where everyone has access to the same amount of information, the same conversation that's going on, rather than any side chats or any side formats. Additionally, if your administrator has a task that you may have been assigned by the board chair or by the committee chair, these will show up here. You can also assign tasks to other members if you're working on a project that requires the buy-in of several different people. Are there any questions? I know I'm talking pretty fast.
None.
Hold on 1 second, Patrick.
Yeah, some of these voting workrooms that how would that work with our Open Meetings Act in terms of how we would, if we could, I mean, is that something that we would even be able to engage in, and is that a function? Is there an extra price for that function? If we can't, can we eliminate that function? Can we engage in something like that without compromising the Open Meetings Act?
Madam Chair, Member Esquivel, this is the first time I'm looking at this in real time, and I would suggest that there are some components that is geared toward the private sector that for many of the clients that might be able to do that, there would not be the ability to have those kind of closed discussions within and voting within our portal if we were to design it.
Thank you.
Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong, but Madam Chair and Member Esquivel, we can use as much of this product or as little of this product. So just because it's being demoed now doesn't necessarily mean that it's something we would utilize. But down the road, it is something
right.
that we can, something different that we can
right.
look at.
Right. So let me, Madam Chair, let me make sure that I'm getting this question correct. It is, you're asking about the ability to either turn off functionality or not use it, or use it depending on your needs as they expand. Is that correct?
Yes.
Absolutely. So I am trying as much as possible to cover in the time we have the breadth of what this product can do, because it is quite powerful. That being said, we do work with a lot of different kinds of organizations that use BoardEffect in a lot of different ways. And like we had mentioned earlier, the control aspect is really important, right? It's finding the right functionality in the platform that works for your organization. You have the ability to use as much or as little of this platform as works for your organization or as the most effective for your organization. So again, there's a lot of functionality that comes with it. Not all of it you may need. And to that end, as we go through this, I think you'll see that there are certain things that will be really resonant and really helpful and elevate the board's performance. And there are some things that maybe are aimed at a different type of client, and you just won't have to use them.
I have a question. So he said we can decide how the information gets disseminated. So who would control that, Greg? Would that come from you? Because as we know, there have been some draft information that has gotten out that, you know, when you send it through regular email and it's a draft, then you're allowing that to be disseminated as anybody sees fit. So that's my question. I mean, that would certainly help us on that sort of information.
Did you get that, Patrick? So something like that, can we prohibit, I guess, members from downloading and disseminating information outside of the portal?
Or forwarding?
Most definitely can. And I haven't talked about this as much, and you'll have to excuse me. I had done some research on your organization prior to our meeting, and so I wanted to touch on security as an important aspect, but I wanted to be mindful of your need for transparency to the public. That being said, information that gets disclosed or released before it's ready is a problem for a lot of organizations. And to that end, we've built a number of safeguards in the system that will help prevent that. You can, from a very base level, you're able to secure different files and give access to those files only to certain members or certain groups. More expansively, you're able to prohibit downloading as you ask. You're even able to prohibit printing, so you can make this a read-only document online so that people can't, you know, surreptitiously print out something and take it with them. There are a number of different safeguards in the system that will, you know, compartmentalize the information until it's ready to be released.
Okay. Member Esquivel?
Does this have the capability to IP restrict and only allowing certain devices to access rather than multiple devices to the same accounts? And secondly, when dealing with notes, let's say I'm online, I'm writing my notes that I have questions, does every member get to see the same notes that I'm writing, or are those specific to me? How does that work?
Absolutely. So in answer to your first question, you are able to not only run reports on who's logging in from where and from what, and this was a question that Greg and I talked about actually earlier in our deliberations, and you're absolutely able to run reports on that. You can also limit it. There are built in some of our security options around that. The second question that you asked, only you will be able to see the notes you make. The notes are for your use and yours alone. You won't be able to share those notes with anyone unless you email them a copy or, you know, message them a copy. Likewise, you know, you can't collaboratively edit the document, and your notes won't go on the main document. They're really just there for your use alone.
So we would pretty much have to tailor this so that it would be individual. Otherwise, you could end up with a de facto rolling quorum if everybody else would be able to see and collaborate, right? The second thing is with regard to the restrictions, you know, in terms of emailing and other stuff, how about print screen? I mean, there are so many ways to circumvent. I'm not going to go into details as to what else people could do, but how do you prevent that?
From a without going too much into detail, there's a number of ways we use to limit information coming out of the system. From a higher level security perspective, BoardEffect employs some of the top names in the storage and security industry to hold our clients' data. And again, Greg has a copy of our security and resilience report. And at any point that we might need to go deeper or further into a talk about security, there are experts that I could bring on and I'll talk to the board if you're interested in moving forward. That's obviously something that comes with an NDA. We hold that pretty close.
Okay, go ahead and proceed, Pat.
Sure. So I'd like to just jump out of this for a minute and actually go into our administrator side and walk a little bit through some of the things that I think would be helpful in terms of voting and surveys. And Greg, remind me, because it has been some time since we did our last demo, some of the things that you thought were the most important in terms of features for the board were the security aspect, which we just kind of talked about, but in terms of a functionality aspect, were there two or three things that you'd like the board to see? I'm just trying to scratch my head based off our last conversation.
I think the majority or the biggest thing was kind of the archiving and kind of the document management, specifically board bylaws, rules, stuff that's requested that we want to have available to them at all times, history of meetings, so we're not sending attachments from three or four meetings ago. They can just go to the meeting, see what was presented, kind of help them with we send them out a lot of material, so it can help them kind of better organize that.
Absolutely. Perfect, and that's a great place to start. So, and what's nice about this is we can actually kind of touch on two things we've already seen. So starting backwards and working backwards here, the first one would have to do with the workroom file. That's going to archive all your meeting books for you. So you're going to have all of those there. In terms of an organization system, though, we've actually built out our not only workroom libraries and main libraries to fit that kind of organizational need. What a lot of organizations do, and one of the organizations that I really like, will make a folder, a top-level folder for their meeting. And then each meeting will have its own folder in there, and the supplementary material that composes that board packet is where their board liaison will store that. So you'll have a board packet that you can go through and see in your archive that, you know, will be all together. But if there's a certain, you know, if there's documents that later you want to pull out and share, you just go to that folder and find it. Likewise, when you're putting together the packet itself, I've built this out kind of along the lines of one of the universities we work with that I think is great, is they've built out a system where they build out a folder for each, not only their bylaws, but their, for meeting notes, for everything. They have each kind of section that you'd normally get built out, and then those files are tagged as, May 26, 2016 meeting minutes, May 26, 2016 investment committee report, and they'll have that built out. It's really, and that's something that with our advanced support package, which I briefly mentioned to Greg in terms of from its training perspective, but from its advisory perspective, we can actually help you tailor and fit a platform to the way that you'd like it organized and in what would be best practices for your organization. We have a number of experts that'll help you build that out. Any questions off of that?
Yeah, hold on one second, Patrick.
Greg, I think you had told me about this before, but I can't remember. Legacy archiving. Say you're no longer on the board. Will you have access to this information?
No, absolutely not. What would happen in that circumstance is when someone is, steps off the board or is removed from the board, you would deactivate their user profile, and they would not be able to access the system at all.
No, but would they be able to access the information from when they were on the board?
Yeah. So on that, Patrick, I believe that would probably be like an administrator function if we wanted to provide them a download of the materials that, that were presented while they were board members. I mean, that, that's something
that
is
provided. If you did not lock downloading and you made it so it was, they were able to not just read things online but would download a file, that could occur if they stored it or saved it. But obviously, you know, you can take some safeguards against that.
But on that, Patrick, I think what's after is somebody leaves the board, you know, me as an administrator, I can provide them the materials or a download, you know, export it out so they can have, you know, if the agency decides to, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, that's my question, because I have information that goes back to my first board meeting, the minutes and the agenda 12 years ago. And, you know, I think that because I was on the board and it was public information, that I have a right to keep that, and I do. And I refer back to old board meetings. So that was my question on why. It can be only the public documents, the minutes, the agenda, that sort of thing is all I'm asking for.
Madam Chair, if we do go this route, I would anticipate, you know, it'd be a go-forward process. I don't anticipate going back and archiving stuff from this meeting on this platform. It'll be from when we start going forward. So everything you have now is yours.
Well, my concern is in the future, too.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. And we can discuss that further on what to do when a board member leaves. Okay.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, so moving forward, some of the other things that I'd like to just quickly run through would be our survey function. So two things here. The first would be how you would send out a conflict of interest form or something to be authorized, because you are able to sign and authorize documents within the platform. And so all your templates, your administrator will have access to, and they can change it. So they send this out, they'd be able to sign it or signature it, and then it would go out. What that would look like coming back in, especially for a survey, if it's just a form, it'll come back in as the form. However, if it's a survey, the surveys end up looking a little bit like this. And this is a particularly nice touch if you do have something to vote on. So if it's not just a one or two question thing and you have a number of things that need to be individually voted on, a number of questions, you're able to get and tally results from a particular survey and send it out. And the survey will come back in as both a bar graph format that you can view online and see the results online. But so you could show that out or particularly store it for later use. You're able to download that as a PDF or as an Excel document as well.
Is that it, Chris?
Coming back out.
Okay. Can you email us a copy? Because some of it was very, I couldn't hardly read it, a copy of this presentation. Because I didn't see it I went back and looked and I didn't see it.
Yeah, hi. Patrick, can you, after this meeting, can you provide me a copy of the slide deck as well?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. And I can also send you, I believe you still have the business case as well that will drill through a lot of the things that are available on the Board of Directors platform that you can distribute as well.
Yeah.
We'll see. The other thing I think I want to show you here is because a lot of, you know, your meetings are pre-scheduled and things are kind of rolling along in that standpoint, is both the polling. Polling acts of just, it generates in the same way that a survey would do, but it's shorter and it allows for very quick votes. And again, you're able to see all those results, send all those results out, and view and download them right from here and store that information. One final thing I want to cover is our directory. So our directory will store information about the board members themselves, and you can choose how much visibility of that information that you want to allow other users to see or even our fellow maybe committee chairs or committee level workroom administrators. So the top level administrator will have access to all the information, but you can choose the level of privilege and visibility from that. And what this allows you to do is just store information about the board. If you want to run reports on logins and where people are logging in from, you can do that from there. You can also designate an alternate contact if there's someone that helps with the, if there's someone else who you would want to log in on your behalf or someone else who works closely with the board member to view their documents and to accept meetings and usually takes care of that. We also allow that to occur with our alternate contact person. Any questions?
I do have a question. If we were to go with this, would we get any kind of trial period, or are we locked into a contract for a certain length of time?
Yes, that's actually an excellent question. So one of the things that Greg and I talked about was if the board decided to go forward with Board Effect at this meeting, I offered PERA a 60-day opt-out period. Now, what the opt-out is our trial version. So you have a 60-day window where we will build out the platform with you, provided you go with the advanced support route. We'll build out the platform. We'll do all the training. It's the same experience you would have if you came on board as a client. However, you're not billed till after those 60 days, and in any time during that 60-day window, should you decide for whatever reason or no reason, anything at all, that you are not happy with the platform or you want to go a different route, you can drop out with no penalty whatsoever.
And Madam Chair, Member Amelia, it is, even though this is in an action item, we are hopeful to at least get nods to move forward with that. Ideally starting June 1st, would give us our June and July meetings to kind of try this out. And like he says, start, make payment, I guess, in, sometime in August. The fees for this are reasonable. The kind of base package is $6,000 annually, so over a 12-month period. There is something that the board can see if they'd like. I believe it's an extra $2,000 or $2,500, Patrick, where, we get kind of the platinum support package, and if the board wants, we could actually bring them out here to do a formal kind of training for the board as well.
Yes, and thank Greg, that's a great summation. So the two steps up from that $6,000, and just so you do understand, the $6,000 is inclusive of everything. It is training, it is support, our base level package, and then unlimited data storage as well as implementation and 24/7, 365 phone support. If you choose to go to the next level, that's an increased level of training, an increased level of customer service, as well as assistance migrating data and actually building out the framework of the platform, which could be really helpful. That's $1,500 on top of the base price of $6,000. Alternately, you could go with the on-site training, which would be a one-day training conducted by a governance advisor. That's $2,000. I would suggest, practically, with an organization of your size and where you are, the advanced support package, I think, would be more useful. But I'm happy to go in whatever direction the board feels best.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would suggest that we direct staff to keep moving forward with this, and then in July or whenever that 60-day period is up, we do an action item and the board votes one way or another to go with this or not go with this. But I think that this may be really good and it may not be the way to go, but we at least get that trial.
And I agree. I don't think that any of us can really say yes or no until we have that trial. Greg, I know that you've shown it to us, but I would like to get in there and see actually what it does or doesn't do myself before we vote one way or the other.
Second your motion.
Okay. So with that, Madam Chair, you guys have seen enough, so we can move forward and
yes, please move forward. And then, like I said, he said there is a trial basis, so we would, as Member Millie said, we would like to we could give you feedback once we have that trial and we can start looking at it and using it.
Okay. All right, Patrick, I think we're good to go then. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Greg, just to confirm our next steps, it sounds like you would like to move forward. So the next steps for me would be to send you over a DocuSign contract today. And would just so I know, would you like to move forward with the advanced support version, the platform, or the on-site?
Yeah, let me give you a call later on today, Patrick.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay, thank you so much, members of the board, Madam Chairman. I really appreciate the time to present. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to item D, Executive Director's Report. Wayne?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. I know it's been a long long morning, and I will be brief. You have the Executive Director's Report in front of you with the usual information, a couple of things outside of the report that I want to highlight. The board has heard me say, I believe in the past, that I'm a firm believer that sometimes the small things matter more than some of the larger things that get all of the attention. I did want to note that we've had a schedule change for our Albuquerque office. Up until about 2 weeks ago, the Albuquerque office used to close for lunch. I never really liked that arrangement. There are reasons why they did, principally because at least 2, 3, 4 years ago, they really didn't have the staff they needed to be able to stay open over the lunch hour. But because we've been able to not only expand the space in Albuquerque, but also almost double the staff that we have in Albuquerque, I asked Angela if she could try to rework the schedules there so that we are open over the lunch hour. We've been doing that for a couple of weeks. I talked to Angela yesterday, and it appears to be working for them, so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to continue to do that. Again, it's a small thing, but it's not a small thing if your first encounter with Para is to drive all the way from Rio Rancho to our Albuquerque office and arrive at 5 minutes after 12 and have it be closed for an hour. So did want to bring that to the board's attention. Last week, Greg and Susan filled in for me, made a presentation to the Investments and Pension Oversight Committee as their inaugural meeting. And I apologize, Madam Chair, members of the board. I meant to send you a copy of our presentation before that hearing, but I will do so this afternoon. It was just a general overview of Para. I wasn't able to listen in. I tried to, but I couldn't get it on my phone. But I've heard from several people, including some outside of the organization, that not surprisingly, Susan and Greg did a great job of filling in. I think there were a lot of questions in particular about our 457B plan. So I think that's something that we'll be discussing with IPOC over the interim. They have set their interim hearing schedule. I'll email that to you this afternoon as well. I don't believe they've finalized their interim work plan, however. So as soon as we get that, I'll also share that with the board. It looks very similar to the work plan from last year with one exception, and this is a recommendation that we made to the IPOC. As those who have been on the board for a long time know, the Investments and Pension Oversight Committee for the past 6 or 7 years, and rightfully so, have focused on the condition of the public pension plans in New Mexico and trying to get both ERB and PARA back into some sort of financial, or at least on a path to financial solvency. But in New Mexico, is the case throughout the country, private retirement is only part of the picture. And in New Mexico, for example, this is unfortunate, but probably not surprising, the board knows we have two very solid public retirement plans. But we rank 49th in the country for private sector security retirement. This is something that a number of states, Maryland, Connecticut, California, I think there's over 20 states have begun to look at. Okay, let's make sure that our public plans are sound and solvent, but what can we do as a state also to look at the private sector side and make sure that those people who do not have access to a PERA or an ERB also have some way that they can provide for their retirement security. Again, lots of states are looking at this, and we've recommended to the IPOC that the Investments and Pension Oversight Committee also focus at least one of their hearings on private sector security, perhaps bringing somebody in from NASRA, NCSL, NCPERS, other groups that may have a larger knowledge base than we have here. I've asked John Grable to kind of be the point of contact to provide any assistance and technical information we can to committee staff, but I believe that that will be included on the work plan for the Investments and Pension Oversight Committee, and I think that's a good thing for New Mexico, and not something that we're not going to, PARA is not going to fix the private sector security challenge in the state, but I do think we got some smart people out in this room who know a lot about investments, who know about plan design, that perhaps, again, could play a constructive role in advising IPOC if it decides to proceed in that area. In June, I'm going to have Greg, probably at the administration committee meeting, update the committee and board on retirements. As the board knows, you have until Tuesday at 5 o'clock to retire. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait 7 years for your first cost of living adjustment. So May 31st is a big deal for us here. We have seen a fair number of retirements, but we haven't seen at least the spike that I feared we might have, but we'll wait till the final numbers come in, and Greg will report to that, report on that to the board and to the committee in June. And last thing, I just wanted to add my thanks. I think she left, and congratulations to Leanne. That is, as John indicated, that's a significant award. She joins her colleagues, Jude and others, in receiving significant awards over the past couple of months, and I just wanted to add my thanks and congratulations to her for that. And with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer the questions you have.
Member Naranjo Lopez.
I just wanted to state that SEIU has been evaluating and looking at how to bring pensions to the private sector. And so I would recommend talking to them in California because they've been working for a long time on that.
I think Loretta and I were at a conference in California when they were discussing that. Was it them or was it Hank Kim from NCPERS?
No,
Okay, all right. Thank you. Wayne, I have a couple of questions on your report. On the front, and I know this is not unusual, but, you know, we've been discussing about contracts and part-time employees, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, just comparing our contributions versus our payroll, you know, it spiked in December, but it's been going down ever since, and, you know, a little bit up in April. You know, I know that we told the legislature to give us 5 years, but I think, you know, this is something that the board can look at, are that all these vacant positions at the state and the city, you know, maybe go back in history and see what type of impact they're having, because, you know, I don't have a comparison to see if this looks worse than the prior year, but, you know, our payroll just keeps escalating and our contributions seem to keep getting less and less. So I had a question. Maybe we can look at that and see, you know.
I do know, Madam Chair, I think I find it somewhat interesting that, I don't know, maybe they've done this before. I don't recall the state doing this, but the state is having a jobs fair here in a couple of weeks, and that may be an effort to try to fill some of these vacant positions that have been open for quite some time. But Greg, was there any specific reason for the December spike?
Madam Chair, members of the board, we did go back and look at those because you do see those spikes every now and again. And what occurs there is that's a three pay period a month. So, you know, the kind of static line is the normal two pay periods a month. Those 2 months are the ones that three pay periods occur.
Yeah, so it's only that 1 month. And then my second question is, you know, I've had people ask me about that 7 year and when they had to be on PARA's payroll, and my response to them, because I thought I was repeating what I was told, is they had to be on our payroll by July the 1st. Correct?
Madam Chair and members of the board, that is correct, but to be a July 1st retiree, you have to have terminated employment by May 31st.
because I think some people have told me that they had till June the 30th. Now, I haven't given anybody a deadline. I just said you had to be on the payroll by July the 1st. But you have to be, you have to terminate service a month prior to getting on the payroll?
Madam Chair, the COLA would begin, or I'm sorry, the final phase-in of COLA is effective 7/1. So in order to retire, to not fall in, you had to be a June 1. So if you terminate June 30th and you become a July 1 retiree, you're already into the new eligibility period. So technically, you have to retire May 31st to be a June 1 retiree, retire prior to 6/30 of 16 to get into that last phased-in term. So if they terminate June 30th, they are technically, you retire the month following termination, that would be July 1, so they're into the seven-year waiting period.
So you, it's the month, okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, could I follow up on the seven-year? Is it true that if you reach a certain age, that the seven-year does not apply?
Madam Chair, Member Reynolds, that is correct. It's either the seven-year period now or age 65, whichever is first. So if you retire at 63, you're out 6 months. Your full calendar year would start January through December at age 64. You would be eligible for the COLA July of the year you turn 65.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Greg, if you retire after the age of 65, you do you have a year waiting period or not?
Madam
Chair, you immediately?
Yeah, you still would have to be out a full calendar year.
Full calendar year. And the COLA usually goes into effect July?
July.
Okay. Are there any more questions? Any other business? With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
A motion and second. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah.